Welcome to Left of Left Field, where the dreams live and die.
I don't think anybody will have ever had that as an opening song.
But I think it's quite realistic.
We're being
honest with our audience. Yeah. You're sure you're gonna be inspired.
We're gonna make your dreams live.
But all those ambitions, we're gonna kill them by the end of the hour. You better believe it. I'm Mark Charnock.
I'm Paul Kerr.
Welcome to Left of Left Field. Here are some real Left of Left Field headlines from around the world. These are real. Bear that in mind.
Bong.
Is this a real life Mr. Ed or just a horse owned by a lunatic? Headline. Bong!
Hospitals are sued by 7-foot doctors.
Look.
7-foot doctors.
Oh, you and your word plays, man. Bong me.
Bong you.
Don't let your dog eat antifreeze, says vet. Under any circumstances. No, don't. I know it's an option. It's always an option. Of course it is. But don't let Fido eat the antifreeze.
What if you get up in the morning and your dog is frozen?
Well, then in that case, it's an absolute must.
Okay.
Bong!
Old school pillars are replaced by alumni. They're never ending.
It's still
I've got about 20 more.
I want you to get off this goddamn website.
Bong!
Woman left devastated by egg-wielding schoolboy.
Devastated
is a big word,
an
isn't
egg.
It? It's a big verb.
Egg wielding.
Yeah, and you just, I mean, to be devastated, you must have been really wielding that egg. Bong.
Local high school dropouts cut in half.
Seems harsh. Oh, I see. Here's a song for your particulars.
For your ears.
I don't know.
For your ears.
All right, sure.
Song for your ears.
This is Kid Wave at 24. Your age. Time for a little bit of a catch-up. Thanks, kid. You're welcome.
Oh.
He doesn't like you.
Nobody
he said that when he came in. He said, this is a deal-breaker. I don't like the guy. I don't even know if he's American.
Do you know what? He's got really tiny hands.
Yeah.
And when he says goodbye...
He does a little kid wave.
A little kid wave.
Yeah. I thought that too. I was going to tell that joke, but it seemed too crap.
It did.
Yeah. All right. Here
I'll
we go.
Scrape that
no, you made it work. All right, mate. What's... Hey, guy. Hey, little chap. Hey, little baby face.
It's not much. Yeah, it was just... remember a few weeks ago when we thought that winter was over and there was Monday... When,
insane.
Well, Saturday it started, wasn't it? I mean, it's like, what a snowfall. It was absolutely...
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone thought we were done. We'd had some sunshine. It really threw me. And we were out in the car. I had two kids in the back.
Mm.
And I'd driven them to a nightclub in Halifax. This is like 12... My 12-year-old daughter, I'm driving her to a nightclub.
Wow.
That was like a vision of the future.
Blimey heck.
So basically, they'd hired it for between 7 to 9
for
like a 12-year-old's party.
Sweet, kind of thing,
which was lovely.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been. It got cancelled because of the weather.
Oh, gosh.
But we're coming back, and I'm driving down to some traffic lights that are red.
Didn't stop.
The car just didn't
stop.
Oh,
my God.
It just didn't stop.
Yeah.
And my daughter... And a friend's daughter, so it's not just my own child that I'm you know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And their kids they're just going, Dad, Dad.
Oh, my
Dad.
God, my God.
And so lucky that there was no cars that came
through. Oh, my God,
just couldn't stop.
Do you know that? I was driving to work in Leeds from where I live in North Yorkshire, and I got out of the house, and it was just gentle snow. It was settling,
yeah.
But I thought, that's okay. I've driven through worse
than this.
I drove 2 miles out of where I live, so I've got towards... what's it called? Howard House. I'd gone past it. So I'm more than halfway to work now. And I can see ahead of me, a lorry is half jackknifed on our half of the road.
Yeah.
But it's not covering the other. So there's still traffic coming towards us. And I thought, I'm early anyway. I've been good.
Yeah.
I'll wait it out and just make it. Then suddenly the snow just came down.
Yeah.
I mean, it just got inches in minutes. It was insane. I've never seen... It's a blizzard. And I'm getting... I sat in that traffic for 20 minutes. I got within 5 cars, and I thought, that's a bit weird. And I realised the cars going round the lorry were turning back.
Right.
So all the traffic that was coming towards me was traffic that had given up.
Right.
And it'd take me 20 minutes. So now I'm late, and I know that I'm not going up that road. So I I did a 3-point turn in the middle of this insane road. Again, skidding all over the shop. Drove home. Jumped out of the car, sprinted across town to the train station. All the trains were in fine. They couldn't even send a taxi up to get me from the train station because it was up a hill. I've never seen weather like it. It was absolutely amazing. But just let me tell you this story real quick. This is my little tell before the next song. So I've been in for a thing recently, Rob. I'm just around people who, I don't know if it's their age or it is, but getting film stars' names wrong. And it's just really, really funny. I know this is a bit of a right term, but it's just amusement. So there's a friend at work who just, she just can't, is it called a malapropism? Is that what it is when you just get part of it wrong? So for example, who is the star of 24?
Keith O'Sullivan.
No, Keith O'Sullivan. So it's just things like that. Or who's the star? Who's the Oscar winning star? We lost him recently. It's an absolute tragedy. The Oscar winning star of Capote.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No. Yes.
No.
Or the weirdest one in its own way was, so he's an Australian actor called Brian Brown.
Yeah.
And last week I talked to, he's in a film, I talked to on our last show about seeing Sweet Country. And the person with me went, oh, I love him as an actor. And I went, yeah, Brian Brown's brilliant. She went, what? I went, Brian Brown, he's been around forever. He's a really good actor. You don't see enough of him now. He's in Cocktail with Tom Cruise. Good actor, good actor. She went, no, he's called Brian. And I went,
who would call himself Brian?
I said, that's what I said. I said, no, how have you gone through it? You're 50 years old. How have you gone through? No, I mean, why would anybody call themselves that? It sounds like a sort of really bad hairdresser or something, doesn't it? Brian. Isn't that weird?
Brian.
She said, I'm sure he's called Brian. I went, he's called Brian Brown. Leave it.
She was really sure. She
really insistent. Yeah.
Somebody else was insistent.
It's very good. You can do it.
Super organism. I do apologise.
Everybody wants to be famous.
Not me.
You don't. Thanks, Super Organism. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Mark. You're welcome.
And me.
Paul's here too. Doesn't matter. Oh, they've gone. They said it doesn't matter. That was rude, wasn't it?
Super Organism, that's three women.
I know. Well, guys is a sort of gender
issue. I bluffed you.
Hey, I bluffed you. You have no idea about
And
music.
I'm going to bluff you again with some inventions.
It's time for Paul's inventions. Invest your pensions. Don't feel tension. He'll relax you. Go.
Okay. So I just waited. I was the most tolerant thing. I was just simply waited.
I wish you were more intolerant.
Okay. Right. I've got two sets of three.
Great, me too.
So, first three, and I'll give you three. Two are right, one's made up of these.
What's the theme?
The theme are accidental inventions.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So, the microwave. Okay.
Okay. Accidental?
No.
Oh, look at the box I've just created.
No. Yeah. Okay, so Percy Spencer was an engineer at Raytheon after a World War One stint in the Navy. Okay, he was an electronics genius.
Yeah.
And in 1945, he was fiddling with a microwave-emitting magnetron.
Right.
Used in the guts of radar arrays.
Okay.
When he felt a strange sensation in his pants. Oh. Who hasn't?
What? Where's this going?
It was a sizzling even. So Spencer paused and found that a chocolate bar in his pocket had started to melt. Right, figuring that the microwave radiation of the magnetron was to blame.
And that he was going to die soon. Right? Yeah.
He immediately realised the culinary potential at work. And from that event...
Interesting.
He invented the microwave. So now did you see what I'm saying?
Right up there with antibiotics. Right. Brilliant, okay.
Quilted toilet paper.
Yes.
Okay.
So comfortable.
Jediah Connor. In 1929... What name? Jediah Connor.
Okay, that's immediately suspicious. Jediah?
As opposed
is that even
to
a name?
As opposed to Percy Spencer.
Yes, as opposed to Jediah.
Jed Connor. Jediah. What do you want me to say? It's a name. Right, it's all it is a name.
I don't want to fall out.
We spend more time on the name than the invention.
Sorry.
Okay, he's working on a new sketch pad, and he wanted something that was between a sheet of sketching paper and a canvas. But the pages that he created were rubbish, because either the pencil couldn't be seen or the paint was absorbed, making it almost invisible.
Yeah.
So he gave up on it, leaving it in his office, in his workroom. And then one night, following a bout of the runs, he was looking for something to help clean up the nastiness, and he decided to use these wasted sheets until he realised...
Why is there always something unpleasant in your stories? What's the matter with
you? It's not my story.
It's always something just off.
The soft paper on his bum was what he left open, so that's how... Just, your face is just like disgusting. You're just staring at me.
It's
like
people
I'm
having the tea.
Slinky.
Right.
Do you know the Slinky?
Yeah, I do know it.
Okay.
Yeah, down the stairs.
Richard James. Is that a better name for you? Richard James.
Dick James, yeah.
So in 1943, Navy engineer Richard James was trying to figure out how to use springs to keep the sensitive instruments aboard ships from rocking themselves to death. Okay.
Right, okay.
When he knocked one of his prototypes over, and instead of crashing to the floor, it sprang downward, then righted itself, and then sprang downward, and then righted itself.
What was he trying to invent in the first place?
Springs on a ship that would stop things from rocking.
And it accidentally fell down the stairs.
No, he knocked it off.
No way!
And then that became the goofy toy of many childhoods. And it made him, it sold nearly 300 million worldwide Slinkers. So out of those three, did I make up the microwave?
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Did I make up the quilted toilet paper, or did I make up the Slinky?
I think you made up the Slinky. I was going to say the toilet paper, but I think you made up the Slinky, because I don't believe that he... I could believe the part of the story said he was inventing this and he thought, and then he did an experiment, but that he accidentally knocked it down the stairs and thought, that's an amazing toy. You made that up.
No. It's true.
Really?
That's true.
That's an amazing story then. I stand corrected. Then you made up the loo roll.
I did make up the loo
roll. Why is the one you make up always unbroadcastable? Unbelievable.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Right, go. This is the West Coast pop art experimental band. I won't hurt you. This is a song from from Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs. It's a song from the 60s. Let's just move on through life. I won't hurt you, I won't hurt you, I won't hurt you.
Okay, so that's a big band that are leaving the room now.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming back from the 60s, guys. You're welcome, Mark. You're a great guy. Don't forget to say goodbye to Paul.
Bye.
No, they don't. They're not bothered, are they?
They don't.
It's funny, isn't it? Because they were aware that you were there.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do next time.
I think
time.
One of them was quite irritated with you.
Next time, I'm going to stand in front of the door so they can't get past until they say thank you.
Yeah, they've got to acknowledge it. It's just rude, otherwise.
It's just getting on a bit this time. I'm not having it. Anyway,
right,
three more accidental inventions.
Yeah.
Velcro. Velcro was invented by a dog.
Right.
Basically, George de Mestral.
Why are you doing that in a seductive? Why did you go all seductive?
I don't know.
He tilted his eyes and looked up at me with his blue eyes. He went, George de Mestral. It's actually something like you're going, George de Mestral.
I just realised I didn't know how to say that.
I thought you were going to go, George de Mestral, at your service.
Okay. So he was out walking his dog.
Yeah.
And he noticed that there was an annoying tendency of those burrs sticking to its fur.
Yeah, as it went.
And as he looked at it under a microscope, he saw that there were loads of little hooks. And those hooks were sticking to the fabric of his fur.
Interesting.
And so he experimented for years with a variety of textiles before using newly invented nylon.
Interesting. Okay, good. That's convincing, yes.
Play-Doh.
Right.
Okay. Before being found ground into the rugs of kids' playrooms, it was created to be a cleaning product. Okay, the paste was first marketed as a treatment for filthy wallpaper. So you wash your wallpaper with it. Okay,
really?
But it sort of stuck to the walls,
and he
noticed that some of the kids had been making Christmas tree decorations with it, and so he realised that if you just coloured it, it was Play-Doh, and it turned into
Play-Doh. Edible Play-Doh. It's actually edible.
Is it?
Yeah, don't eat it, kids, but it is edible.
Popping candy.
Yeah.
You know, general foods inventions.
Yeah, thank you for explaining what it is. Yeah.
It began as a space cleaner, right? A product to use in space.
I think this is...
Scientists were exploring how to take cleaning chemicals into space on board their spaceship, their rocket. And when water is added to the chemicals, they react to create a foaming cleaning gel.
Yeah.
But several experiments failed, including one that was eaten by the lab cat.
Wait, luckily, it's suddenly taking a funny turn. This
This is how they discovered it. Luckily, the cat was fine, but one of the scientists noticed that the reaction in the cat's mouth was a popping sensation.
How did the cat transmit that? Did it blink it slowly?
He could hear, and I was looking, and it's like...
He could hear?
Mate, I'm telling you what I've got.
All right.
And with some messing around with the ingredients, he made it edible, and they managed to make candy that popped in your mouth.
That feels a bit.
And the base, loose, the ingredients are heated syrup that are exposed to pressurized carbon dioxide and allowed to cool, which means that tiny air bubbles are trapped in the candy, which are then released when mixed with water, i.e., saliva.
It's the cat bit that bothers me.
Which of those three hilarious ones did I make up?
Bullet point me quickly.
Velcro.
Yeah, I believe that. Play-Doh. I think that's true.
Popping candy.
Play-Doh. See, the popping candy, it's a convincing story apart from the cat aspect.
They're all convincing stories, mate.
I think you made up the Play-Doh.
No. I had to look, though.
You made up the cat then, right?
I made up the popping candy.
Yeah. I mean, why did I not just go with that because it's so obviously stupid?
Because you're so obviously stupid.
Because they used to call it space candy, didn't they?
No, it was originally called popping candy. And here, I've got a question for you. Where do you think Portugal the Man came from?
Don't know.
Feel it still anyway.
The cop! I keep my hands on myself. Listen, Portugal the Man.
No, you're not coming past.
Just
no, you're going to say hello to me. No, get off me.
Hey, thanks, guy. Hey, obrigado. It's Portuguese. Bless him. Obrigado, Mark. You're welcome. Thanks for coming in. Got past this lump in the doorway. That's what he called you. Nasty.
Riddle me this. Riddle me that. Am I a dog? Am I a cat?
We just say a riddle at each other. This is a power game for Paul to make him feel intellectually superior to me, which does work every single week. Right, I'll do mine first.
You go first, because I've just spoken.
It's a quick one. It's a quick riddle. What's the answer? Play along at home if you feel like, let's say it, depressed. Right, so... Oh, this is annoying. This is a really annoying question and answer. Okay. So just be prepared. God, this part of the show is rubbish, isn't it? Right. Okay. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say... Right.
You don't even know if you want to say it.
What makes the number one disappear?
What makes the number one disappear?
Yeah. It's an annoying answer, I'll just tell you straight away. I don't think you'll get it. The way you're looking at me with what I can only describe as bovine eyes makes me think you won't get it.
Hang on, just let me give it a go. I mean, okay, can we go to clues? Because I feel like we're just like saying something and then going to the answers.
I know,
now.
It's really arbitrary.
It's like you really don't care.
What makes the number one? Do you want me to give you a clue?
Yeah, just what am
makes
I looking
number one
for?
Disappear? So it's not mathematical.
Right.
It's something else. It's not mathematical.
You turn the lights off.
No.
And
that's a terrible guess.
Why is it?
I don't know.
If you've written number one and I turn the lights off, you can't see it, can you?
Yeah, it's not the answer here.
Okay, but it would work.
That's not what the internet.
I'm right.
It's not what the internet wants to hear.
What makes it disappear?
You put a G in front of it and it's gone.
That's all right.
Da-da-da.
That's all right.
18.
Boom. There's an airplane crash and every single person on board died, and yet two people survived. How is this possible?
There's an airplane crash.
Yeah.
And everybody on board died.
Yeah.
But two people.
Yeah, every single person on board died, but yet two people survived.
Were they not on board?
Yeah, they were.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everyone died, but two people didn't. They were on board.
Yeah. Every single person died.
Give me a clue how to work this out. Is it a wordplay thing?
Yes.
Oh. Read it out again. So the clue's in the question, right?
Yes.
Go on.
There's an airplane crash and every single person on board died.
Every single person. So it's married people.
Yes!
Oh, come on!
I did give you three singles.
I know, but I got there, man.
I know.
Don't be mean.
What goes up
and down? Don't be a jerk.
What goes up and down?
Don't be a filthy scumbag.
What goes up and down but still remains in the same place?
What goes up and down but still remains in the same place? I don't know. Just give me the answer. Let's get it over with.
This is a good one, this one.
Any clues?
Yes. You use them every day.
What goes up and down, but stays in the same place? You use them every day.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Unless you live in a bungalow.
Stairs.
Bump, dum, dum.
Here's another song to get us over that crap. This is great. So this is Nathaniel Rakeford.
I love the way you said this is great because you realise it's your
song.
No,
it's a good song. Have you listened to this song? He's got a wonderful voice. This is Nathaniel Rakeford and the Night Sweats and Shoeboot.
Shoeboot, baby.
Gig. Hey, you're welcome, Mark. Thanks for having us. You're welcome, Nathaniel. Just great. Thanks for coming in. And aren't you guys the Night Sweats? Hey, don't get the Night Sweats. Oh, Mark, you're such a card. They love me.
I thought if I just stay out of it, they might notice me. I thought maybe nothing. If I was nothing.
Honestly, I don't.
There's
eight of them, and I don't think any of them looks at you. And this is a small hotel room.
I am naked. I thought at least that would do something.
Let's change that right now. I'll get naked too. Right, okay, so here's some inventions. Two sets of three. One set of no. Which of the ones are easy to make up? It's mad jewellery again. I know I did that last time, but I found a great website, so just deal with it. It's a free show. Don't worry about it. Right, here we go. This is amazing. Right, these are even madder than the last one. Right, ready? So mad jewellery. First three. The real hair necklace. It's hair in elaborate patterns.
Your own hair or somebody else's?
Somebody else's.
No.
I'm made into a necklace.
No.
Thick, loopy hair. Ready?
Okay.
Next.
That feels like a serial killer's invention.
Well, funny you should say that. Okay. Next is the dictator charm bracelet. So you know what a charm bracelet is,
yeah,
right? But on the charms, images of Chairman Mao,
no,
Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin et al.
How bad taste is that?
Well, you can get T-shirts with Chairman Mao on, though, can't you? I mean, you can.
But there's something about, like, okay, you picked one, and I don't know what that's about, ironic or whatever.
Yeah.
I've got them all. Mate, I've got a charm bracelet with them all on.
I didn't make it. I'm not a silversmith. Right, next one, the bacon bangle. Literally, a piece of threaded bacon that, with a metal
clasp.
There
would be a better band than the Bangles. The bacon bangles.
Yeah, I bet the bangles were veggie. These guys aren't.
These aren't.
The bacon bangle, literally a piece of treated bacon with a metal clasp. So, I mean, it's just real hair necklace, the dictator charm bracelet, or the bacon bangle.
You made up the bacon bangle.
No, it's real. And it's exactly how it sounds.
You made up the hair necklace.
No.
You made up the dictator charm bracelet.
Of course I
fascist.
Did, you idiot. I'm the fascist. The people on the bracelet are the fascists. The bracelet that doesn't exist.
This is a fantastic song. I hope you like it.
We'll be the judge of that.
This is a brilliant singer called Gweno, and she's actually singing in Cornish. And this is, I don't know how to say it, but it's Tuir Ha Mór, and it's a beautiful song. Enjoy.
Okay, let's give it a go.
You really made me chuckle when you ended it with
"Let's give it a go." Sorry, it seemed really patronising. No, I didn't mean it to.
It was also like, we've got no choice. We're playing it.
That's happening. Part of my family are Cornish. I've got a Cornish godson, and it's a funny place, Cornwall. The people are so chipper and nice and lovely. It's a lovely county.
And it's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Hard to get there unless you're there.
It's a long way away.
You know, that A road that I can't remember.
Oh, it's endless.
Get stuck behind a tractor.
Don't go there for the weekend. Make it a week.
You have to.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Here's three more mad jewellery. All right, okay. Are we getting? What the hell does that mean? Right, okay.
Let's give this a go.
Chicken feet earrings. Long, big red chicken feet, earrings. Big, long rooster's feet. That's one thing. The coffee and pastry ring.
Oh.
Do you remember the last time I did it? There was like a ketchup and burger and fries ring. Yeah. This is the coffee and pastry ring. It's a black slate again with a perfectly designed cappuccino and a cinnamon swirl.
Made by the same person.
Yeah, if you like. The belly button ring in the shape of a tiny human mouth, complete with miniature diamond teeth.
Hang on. I've got to imagine this now. So
belly
it's a
button
belly
ring.
Button ring.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, a belly button ring.
But it's a mouth.
Circular. Yeah. With teeth, little teeth, and it's like a mouth. Yeah, with teeth. But the teeth are diamonds.
Has he got lips?
Yes. Yes, he does.
You just added that.
No, I didn't. That's the image. Yes, that's the image.
Okay.
That I'm trying to describe. Badly.
Male or female?
Unidentifiable. I'm going to say. Yeah, I want to say unidentifiable.
Okay. All right, you made that one up.
Yeah. Right!
That's a ludicrous idea.
I bet you somebody makes it now. They've heard this. Yeah. This is Hebden Bridge. There's jewellers That's all over the shop. Oh, true. I'll do that.
Listen, if you do invent it,
I'll stop doing that for a minute. I'll stop like feeding the donkey outside, and I'll do the jewellery. That's what I do here. Yeah.
Okay, so anybody in Hebden, if you do invent it and you want us to have a look at it, you could send us a picture of it.
And also, you can send me some money.
And this is to... How do they get in touch with us?
Well said. We forgot that.
No, I didn't forget it. That's what I was saying.
I'm at Mark Charnock on Twitter.
I'm at Paul Coates on Twitter, underscore.
You're at Paul Coates, underscore. You can get in touch with us by email directly, which is leftoflefield@gmail.com. Yep.
Go through the station on Twitter, at Hebden underscore radio.
Or you can get them... by email, which is... Oh, no, you can approach...
Oh, just go on the website.
I don't know. Just Google it.
Hebdenradio.co.uk.
Yeah.
Click us, find us on the show.
Right, here's another song. Oh, okay. So this is... I've not listened to him for ages, and I forgot how good he is. He used to be the Ben Folds 5, but now he's lost the 5, and it's just Ben Folds, and this is Landed.
Fantastic.
Champ. Oh, sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. Here we go. Get rid of the piano. Ding, bing, ding, bling,
bing, bong. Do you know what? He just gave me a note that said thank you. He gave me a note.
I didn't see that.
It was folded over 5 times.
He does do that. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Swell, I will.
Bingy bong.
Swell. Oh, so weird. Swell,
right, this is a part of the show. I like this part of the show. This is where we talk about stuff we like culturally or whatever. Whatever's in our pretty little heads. Not so pretty in my case, but they are in yours, buddy, you beautiful thing. Tell me what you've been enjoying, you little scumbag.
I've been enjoying a podcast. We began as a podcast, this, and then it turned into a radio show.
If you still listen
to us on podcast, then you might like podcasts. So I'm going to... I feel like I said podcast the word too many times.
Do it again.
Okay. There's two... that I'm going to... Because they're sort of linked,
okay,
in a way.
Okay, great.
And it's a podcast that's available on Audible, and it's called West Cork. Don't know whether you've heard of it or not.
So no.
It's basically 13 episodes, about half an hour each, and it's in the vein of Serial. And I know that there's a sort of a glut of
true crime murders.
Yeah. So this one I just thought was... exceptional, actually. Okay. And I've kind of stopped listening.
West Cork.
Okay. It's called West Cork, and it's about Sophie Toscan du Plantier, who was murdered days before Christmas in 1996. Mm. And it's still never been solved. And it's in West Cork.
Yeah.
In town of Skull, I think it's pronounced. And it still remains a mystery. What's really good about this, the investigative journalist Sam Bungie and Jennifer Ford, they take us through... the whole thing, the whole case. And the problem I have with a lot of these is that they've picked cases and they don't solve them.
Mm.
So it becomes open-ended.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it by saying it doesn't get solved here. You know, that's you know, you kind of know that from the beginning.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And that's what I found frustrating. But what was excellent about this was how subtle... and nuance the reporting was, and how it looked at so many individual things. And it's a fascinating case of the guy that everybody is convinced did it, of which there's no evidence.
Yeah.
And that man himself is a very intriguing character.
Yeah.
And all the things around it. And it shows that it was a different time. I know it's only 1996, but, you know, things weren't recorded. So a lot of the stuff is relying on what police officers wrote down afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of think, my God, we used to do that. Yeah. We used to have to write things down. So that's a great podcast. If you like your true crimes, if you're getting a little bit sick of them, the second podcast is it's called A Very Fatal Murder.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard about this?
No.
By The Onion.
Oh, I love
and
The Onion.
It's basically, I think it's 6, and they're about 15, 20 minutes.
Is it mocking?
And it mocks them like crazy.
Oh, great.
His search for the perfect... It's like he's finding some brutal murders, but then the victim's not quite good-looking enough, or, you know, the killer's not quite so oddball.
Yeah.
And it's right down to the music that they use and the little stings. And
brilliant.
It's so... If you want a good true crime one, I absolutely recommend West Cork.
I'll be listening to that.
If you're a bit sick of them.
No, I'll be listening to that as well.
Then a go very, for fatal, very fatal murder.
Very good. Yeah. I'll just quickly do my mind's a film again. So I did a thing I've not done before. I went to Scream Unseen at the Odeon, which is like you buy your ticket for £5. It's really cheap. And you will see our film, but you don't know what it is. So it usually is Screen Unseen. But when it's Scream Unseen, you know it's horror.
It's going to be a horror one.
So great, you try and narrow down your options. We offer also, it's going to be Unsane, a new Soderbergh. It's going to be Ghost Stories. That's the one we really wanted it to be, which is a stage play that's been made into a film by Andy Nyman and Jeremy Dyson. And that was the one I was really, because it's a portmanteau. I wanted it to be that one. And there was a thing called Now You See Me.
Was it Carry On Frankenstein?
It was Ghost Stories. So we were thrilled to bits.
Oh, wow.
What's really weird about what happens when you go into these things, people stand up and walk out, but it's not the film they want. Immediately.
Why would you?
Immediately.
You've paid.
Before the credits. It's so bizarre. You get your money back. But I say, this film's not coming out for 2 months.
Yeah.
Just give it a go. You've only paid a fiver. You've committed to 2 hours in the cinema anyway. Just watch it.
I don't think you should get your money back. I think that's the whole point. The whole point.
I don't think you should get your money back either. It literally came up, that thing, that BBFC sign came up. They all just stood up and walked out. We're just thinking, but it's already been well received. Anyway, just onto the film. So it's Andy Nyman. I saw it as a stage show with Reese Shearsmith in the role.
Yeah.
And it's about a skeptic who undoes ghost stories and fake, you know, these snake oil salesmen who go, say, I can see the dead son, and he's going to, you know, I'm going to get in touch with the dead for you. It's all rubbish, of course. Yeah. You know, it really is detestable. So he's one of these characters, and he's given three cases to investigate that the other guy, the other skeptic, just can't explain.
Yeah.
So there's three films. They're virtually one-man shows. So there's Paul Whitehouse in the first one as a guy working in a warehouse. Can't remember the middle off the top of my head. And the third one is Martin Freeman. Yeah, I've seen it on stage too. Really good fun, and I was intrigued to see how they do it. So it's a classic sort of 70s British horror film. It's got that whole feel, so it's all set in really mundane places, like, you know, run down places. And Andy Nyman is very good. It is quite creepy,
great,
I have to say. But I'll tell you what's really exceptional about it. The first one, it's a portmanteau, there's three stories with a story that's a parenthesis around them. Andy Nyman's fine in the lead, he's okay, but the film is stolen for me by Paul Whitehouse giving a dramatic performance as a man who's just had an awful experience.
Brilliant.
My God, he is brilliant. I'm hoping he's going to be doing a lot more dramatic roles because he's fantastic.
Yeah. I've heard he's available for
fantastic actor.
Fantastic.
And so mine is Ghost Stories. But yeah, you'll go along, you'll be creeped out. But do you know what? There are flaws in it. There are some flaws in it, but it's so much fun. It's like a really good ghost train ride. I really enjoyed it. It was a real treat. So when it comes out, I highly recommend it.
Great. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, gang.
I'd love to tell you what this next song's called, but Willow couldn't be bothered.
Untitled.
Untitled A2. That's important.
Oh, yes.
There's an untitled A1, A3, and A4, but you want untitled A2.
Yeah.
Don't be
Just enjoy it. Shut up.
Bye. I'm still doing me.